You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday afternoon, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro, who is the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. And David, even the BBC was covering Mr. Ramaphosa's latest pronouncements on the measures to combat COVID-19. I saw him last night, and suddenly they're banning booze again, which, I don't know, if you want to ban booze because it does this and it does that, then ban it altogether. Put in a mini prohibition like they did in the States in the 30s. But why keep on saying this and then saying that? I don't quite understand what I heard last night.
No, you did. And the request has come from hospitals. Now, I'm not sure which hospitals because they're not specific. And one of the reasons is that people are getting drunk having crashes, which I think is nothing new in South Africa.
No.
Now, our road deaths and the number of accidents, I think, are something we're very good at, and we surpass all kinds of statistics. But what happens is these people end up in hospital, and they take in the beds of people who need hospitals for recovery from COVID. So
yes. They
said, no, well, what we're going to do is we're going to stop you drinking. Therefore, you won't have crashes, and you won't end up in hospital. What it says is, sorry, you know, this is South Africa. We don't really have the police force to prevent those kind of things. You know, all around the world, they have very competent police forces who stop this happening, you know, and put you in jail if you smell like liquor. But yeah, it just seems that this is a free-for-all. You can do what you like. The only time you do see the police is if you've got a very expensive car and they try and grab you on for drinking if there's any smell, or you might not even have it, but there's always a threat, and that they find is a bit of a game in town, or was a game in town before we went into lockdown, you know, extracting
bribes.
Money from bribes, yeah, from chaps who might have had one glass of wine at a dinner, you know. So that was their favorite sport, but to actually stop the chaps who are motherless drunk and driving on the roads, that they don't do. Anyway, I say this all out of frustration and anger, because
yes. If
it was confined to just one hospital or two hospitals in Gauteng, where it seems to be, why close down the whole country? You know, why must someone in Natal suffer as a result, or why must someone in Cape Town or whatever it is? So there's never logic to the things that they do, you know. Anyway,
COVID-19 cases are spiking up in South Africa from what I can see as well. Again, featured on the BBC, which has a very strong presence in South Africa, as does a CNN. And although the death rate is much lower than it is, for example, in the United States, it's still starting to get rather concerning as we go into winter.
Yeah, it is. And it's spreading. And one doesn't know how, you know, where you get it from. I was just talking to a friend of mine this morning who's, you know, just coming out of quarantine after overcoming the disease or the virus.
Yes.
He says, listen, I asked, where did you pick it up? He says, I don't want to be flippant, you know, and I don't want to. He says, I don't know. He says, I could have been at the petrol station. It could have been going to Woolworths or something. He says he doesn't know. And I think I asked just to find out, well, how does it spread? And I think the scary part is that, the scary part is he has no idea. So what happens, obviously, is being left all around the place. And I think that's what's creating or being, causing the spike that we have here. Plus, people compact together. It's a way that we live here. We live in very tight circumstances. I'm talking about mainly the working population, and that's it. They get into taxis. Now what's happened, the odd thing as well, is that they're allowing taxis on short journeys to go, you know, fully, to go not only 7%, but they can fill the taxi 100%, which is means in a normal high ace or whatever they drive, the Suzu, you've got 20 people tucked there,
right,
you know, together. Of course, it's going to spread.
It's not
even
just South Africa,
wearing
though.
A mask.
It's not just South Africa, though, because I was in, I got a train from Rotterdam to Brussels on Saturday, and the second class carriage was was pretty full of people, I have to say. And somebody wanted to sit next to me, and I said, no, I'm sorry, you have to keep a 1.5 meter distance. But other people were sitting amongst each other. And then I went to a restaurant. The restaurant was full. I went to a bar. The bar was full, and people weren't observing it. And it seems as though it's not just Brussels or Belgium. It's also the Netherlands as well. And people have suddenly become rather complacent, maybe because it's summer. I don't know. But there seems to me there's going to be a second wave of this thing. And I just don't know how I feel about it. I'm starting to get a little bit nervous myself as a person who might be vulnerable to something slightly more serious.
You only relax when there's a vaccine.
Yes,
you know that's the only time you really will relax. And alternatively, or if there's a cure, if you know you can take a drug or a pill or something like this, and it'll alleviate all the symptoms, you'll get back to normal life. But we're not there yet. You know,
we're not
there yet. That's a negative side of this, you know. And I think the worry is complacency. And we've seen complacency in Florida and Texas and quite a number of states around the world. Mexico. Look, Mexico is people go there on holiday. You know, they live in very close proximity to each other. Number of tourists come in. So, it's bound to spread. I don't know.
Nor do I. Let's have a look at a stock exchange news service announcement today. And there's two things I would say about this, and it's to do with TFG or Fashini buying Jet,
Jet
from Edcon. Now, I like it because that's bold. That's very bold of Fashini, and they're saying when we get out of this, this will be a good purchase. And also, it's probably they've probably got it at a decent price. I wouldn't know. This is probably like a fire sale for Edcon. I don't know. Which way do you look at it? A good price, a reckless move, a bold move? What is it?
No, it's probably a bold move and a opportunist move, but it's a good company. You know, Jet, I think, is at the bottom end of the market. It competes probably with I'm trying to think who it would compete with at the
Pep stores.
Pep stores. So it's probably something like that. Although it's you'll find it in Sandton City, etc. Good value for money. So I think if there was a gem to come out of it, out of the Edgars Group, I think that is it. So for them, Fashini is a very well run business, make no error, and very smart people there. So for them, I think they'll benefit. And I'm sure that it was within the Edgars Group, it was the one that could easily be. What were resurrected?
Yes,
simply because of the of where it focuses itself is more at the lower income side of things.
Yes.
So I would think it's pretty good, and the market's responded that way.
You know, very
the market
nicely.
Likes it. It's pushed the shares up about 8-9%.
Yeah.
So they think it's good. I don't know. I can't work out the pricing because I haven't seen the numbers. You know, I don't know what the you've got to look at the numbers and see. It'll take some time for that to work through, you know, not the numbers that'll be given to you. And I'm sure that with their input now, they can improve that quite dramatically.
Do you think they'll
remember it?
Do you think they'll keep the brand? Do you think they'll keep that brand name and just embellish it and tart it up a bit?
Yes, I would say so because it does have it's got very good brand presence. But understand that Edgars have been under a lot of financial pressure for some time. And therefore I don't think they were able to invest in the brand, you know, which allows Fashini to do so.
Okay, well, good luck.
The trouble is what remains, you know, what's left in Edgars for them to sell. This was one of the big brands. So, look, it's going to alleviate and pay some creditors, but hell, it's so sad to see this being broken up anyway.
Okay, well, good luck to them. Anyway, as you say, the share price are doing very well, about 7.5% up as we pre-record this. Let's have a look now at the markets. Look at the rand at 16.69, David. That's a big move. I know it's the euro dollar. The dollar is under pressure again, 113.65, which is about a 0.6% fall for the dollar, rise for the euro, but I think more of a fall for the dollar. And when I look at the dollar, I look at Trump and the debacle that is the White House at the moment, falling apart. You see, Anthony Fauci hasn't spoken, they say, that the so-called insiders say that he hasn't spoken to the president for maybe 2 or 3 weeks now. And he's obviously on the way out. He's going to get sacked quite soon because the White House today has said that he's lying, essentially. He's lying about the coronavirus, about COVID-19. And I just can't quite understand.
He's a scientist, Lindsay.
Exactly.
He's a scientist.
It's a scientist versus a sociopath. Yeah. It's very simple.
Exactly. Mm. You know, and they look at test tubes and they tell you what they see. Mm. They've got no other agenda. You know what I mean? That's his only agenda. So he's not interested in the politics of this. He tells you what he sees. And yes, sometimes it could change. But understand where he is. And I think that Trump has lost interest in the pandemic. He's lost interest. He's interested in one thing, that's all. That's seeking re-election and whatever it takes. It just, John Cleese, I read a tweet by him, and, you know, he was just bemoaning Trump. He says, but he wasn't bemoaning, he was bemoaning the supporters. You know, he says, I think that was the most astonishing thing, is that he still has 40% support, even how he described him as a liar and a cheat and whatever adjectives he could think about. He's a lot more articulate than I am, John Cleese. But I think this is the point, is that he still has support, and that support doesn't seem to waver. And it's surprising in this, because he has a man who doesn't care. He doesn't care about America. He doesn't care about any of the values that you've always held sacred. You know, when they swear allegiance to the flag, etc., you kind of every American stands up with pride and bangs his chest. Well, now they're getting on one knee, but still, he doesn't stand for anything anymore like that. And I don't know.
It's
an astonishing situation.
I was reading extracts from that book by his niece about Donald Trump. And having listened to commentaries about the book, he doesn't care about his wife. He doesn't care about his kids. He doesn't care about his colleagues. He doesn't care about the Republican Party. He doesn't care about the citizens of the United States of America. He cares about one thing, and that is himself. And I just wonder what his father did to him. I wonder what Fred Trump did to him that made him so... such a horrible derivative of a human being, such an abomination of a human being, because that's what he is. He's disgusting.
Yeah. It could be that he wanted to please his dad.
Could be.
It could be something like that. I don't know. Mm. Whether he wanted to impress him or please him, and this is a way of doing it. But it's a very odd situation. And that the American, you know, because whatever I read, and maybe I read the wrong book, magazines or newspapers or podcasts, etc. Mm. I can't see anything in his, you know, not one person comes out in his favor and describes him as anything but what we've been talking about. And yet he's got this very solid base, unless that solid base is nothing more than a dig at the establishment, you know, and the establishment takes a lot of forms. Whatever, you know, just who knows? I can't even start to describing it, but it could be a dig at that side of the, you know, saying, listen, you know, we can't stand the left, we can't stand this, you know, even Biden,
the radical left,
the radical left, you know, being pressurized into who he must choose as a vice president, that kind of pressure, the kind of pressure that, you know, we've seen unfolding now. You know, I hope I'm not saying the wrong thing that's going to get me into trouble, but I'm saying I saw Sports Illustrated have had their first transgender person, what do you call it, modeling woman software.
Nice.
Swimwear. Got that one wrong.
Yes.
And I'm saying, okay.
So what?
I say, okay. I'm trying to work out, what are you getting excited about? I mean, does this mean that, you know, Sports Illustrated, you know, it was always the most popular issue, it was the swimwear issue.
Yes.
Do you think the same people who bought the swimwear issue are going to buy this one now? If it's a man, I don't know whether she's had the operation now, so I don't know. But I'm saying, hold on a sec, you know. what's my reaction going to be? Well, I think I'm just going to pass on this one.
Yeah, of course, because and I think most people will. But you can't say that. They're doing the right thing because that's the populist movement of all rather so much the populist movement, but a movement. The thing that I don't understand about just going back to Trump before we get on to the United States stock market, which again is having a really good day, is that the evangelical Bible touting part of the Trump base, which is a big part of his base, where does it say, I'm not a religious person, I'm not a person of faith, where does it say in the Bible that the Christ's doctrine sort of is mirrored by Donald Trump? Donald Trump isn't a religious man. He never goes to church. He probably has never even read the Bible. He doesn't understand it. And yet these people, he stands up in front of a church with a Bible, and these people follow him because they think he's a man of God. He's not a man of God. He's not a man of Christ. He doesn't know what the doctrine of Christ is. And certainly Christ's doctrine has got nothing to do with what Donald Trump does. Why do they vote for him?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. For me, it's a dig at the establishment. It's a dig at this radical left, at the kind of things I've been talking about. And that's what this is what I'm worried about, is that by pushing that, by pushing that agenda, instead of a centrist agenda, you could lose kind of, what I mean? You could push more people in that direction. And I'm saying, I'm very relaxed about issues. These things don't bother me at all. And the reason I raise them, even the LGBT, the Sports Illustrated, is that it does offend a certain element of the population. And that's the worry, is that by pushing those and saying, this is great, and celebrating it, you actually turn, by literally celebrating it, you're kind of turning a lot of people away. And that's my deep concern. I'm trying to be an advocate in this and saying, look, do what you want to do. But sometimes by pushing it, you're helping Trump. You're actually helping him. And
Your point. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm very nervous about that side of it. And
what I'm nervous about is the fact that he's divided a nation, and this is a nation in chaos. Although the Black Lives Matter movement and the violence and the which was associated with it was from a few opportunists has sort of calmed down a little bit now. I know that Donald Trump has divided the most wealthy and still probably the greatest economic power in the world, and I think it's a disgrace personally.
Yeah. No, I know. And if you want emotion, you just have to talk to New Yorkers and people that you know there. There's no middle ground. It's just one way or the other. And listen, it still causes a lot of fights. But I'm worried about America from that point of view, because I think America is a great nation in terms of it's still a very big military, its might. It still dominates business. I mean, we're talking about companies like Amazon and Alphabet and Apple, which are trillion-dollar companies.
Amazing.
And you can't ignore those. You can't ignore the might and the global reach of those businesses. And those are just a few. I mean, even we're looking at Tesla going up, et cetera. So within America is this, it's still a very important nation. But what I'm worried about is just how people are turning their backs on America. I don't think you'll ever be able to ignore them, but I certainly think that their image and, that has been portrayed by Trump is somewhere along the line is going to cause immense damage. And it causes to the world, not only to America, to the world, because there's no global leadership in any of the issues, even like the current issue that we're talking about now, the COVID issue. There's been no dominant, no one's taken leadership or control of this or tried to find a world solution. And I'm worried that another 4 years is going to sink us, even lower. I think it's going to be a terrible 4 years under him. Simply, he's got no plans. He's got no agenda for the next 4 years. So it's just going to be bumble along, beat up the Mexican, beat up China, beat up everybody. And then it's going to be 8 years of him that we're going to have to try and recover from. Those are my big fears as well.
And yet the stock market keeps on going up, David. And there are now $4 trillion companies, you were telling me off air. Mm. So you've got Amazon, you've got Alphabet, which houses Google. You've got Apple. What's the other one? One, two, three.
Microsoft,
okay.
Yeah.
So $4 trillion companies listed on the New York Stock Exchange and other exchanges as well. Isn't that astonishing?
It is. Yeah, it is. And these are good businesses. Lindsay, I think business is moving away from politics. You know what I mean? I think it's saying, okay, we're going to do this on our own. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't care who's in charge. We're going to do it on our own. And that's kind of what the market's saying. Okay, we've had enough of it. We don't care. Let's just get on with it and run our businesses, regardless of whoever's in charge of the White House. So before there was a kind of a correlation, but I think now even those companies have given up on Trump and they say, okay, you know, we'll just do it our way. We don't need him. You know, I don't think there's going to be any, we'll develop the software, we'll develop our business, whatever it is. And I think even business is starting to look that way as well. You know what I'm saying? I think that there's a disconnect now, no matter who comes in, no matter what he does. I don't think it's having any impact. So he can be outrageous. I'm talking about Trump. He can put out tweets. He can do what he likes. I think the market's just ignoring it.
I hope so. He needs to be ignored. David, just looking at a few of the winners and losers on the JSE Securities Exchange today, I'm looking at Kumba Iron Ore up 10% today. It's 500. Well, it's 508 rand a share. Do you remember when that share was 20, 30 rand?
Yeah. That's not too long ago.
And now it's paying 20, 30 rand dividends and more.
The iron ore price fell to below $40 a ton. Mm. We're now steady at $100 a ton, you know, and it's not going down. Copper's been strong as well. So the miners are looking okay. And I think also you're getting some fairly good numbers coming out of China. That whole region, I shouldn't say only China, I think that whole region is stabilizing. You know, there's seems to be getting back to economic activity, and you know that's beginning to be reflected in the in these numbers. So
on the downside, Distell, of course, that's because of the booze ban. That was down heavily, but it's only down around about 3% at the moment. But yeah, I don't know. So what do you make of all this then? The S&P is I think around about 3,200 and the high, all-time record high before this nonsense earlier on in the year, in March the 23rd, I think it went down to something like, I think it was 2160, 2170. It's now at 3,200, having been at 3,400 as its record high. It's only 200 points off its high. That's astonishing, isn't it?
It is. It's just, look, for me, they're positive signs. Mm. And I think that we'll sustain this if we get decent corporate earnings. You know, we're going into the season now. For me, the answer lies in the tech companies. I know that you're going to get some of the traders, like, for example, probably Morgan Stanley or a Goldman Sachs, you know, who are not exposed to the retail market. Probably they'll do okay. You know, those two banks, simply because there've been a lot of bond issuance and there's been quite a bit of trading activity taking place. You know, the kind of volatility we see in the market favors them. But I think we will watch the Walmart and the tech companies for guidance as to how things are going. You want to see, did Netflix increase their subscriber base offshore? You know, you're going to see the cash that they generated. So you're going to look at Microsoft. You're going to look at Amazon's going to be a big one as well. You know, did they live up to expectations in this kind of period of building their business and so on? So I think that's where the answer is going to lie. And what do the CEOs see of the future? So that could give us a little bit of an underpin. If we're disappointed there, well, I don't know. You know, I think we could come back a bit.
I think that what will happen, David, is we'll get the quarterly results, which you've just referred to, and the numbers will be horrible. They'll be 40-50% down in banking and certain retail earnings and so forth. But there will be a statement saying, but that was a once-off, and now we've started re-employing people. People are starting to come back into the country and all that sort of thing. I think that's what they'll say, and so the market will embrace it and up we go again. probably, unless there's some really bad apple that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, we could. You know, it's running ahead. The answer is in sustainability. You know, I'm very happy that I'm well placed in that. But despite that, and despite my bullishness, I'm not going to say, okay, let me go look next week and see what happens. I watch this vigilantly. Mm. You know, I watch markets literally all the time, you know, just looking for signs. It's almost like driving in a rainstorm. You know, you don't want to take your eyes off the road. It's that kind of market. Yes, you're making good progress, but you dare not take your market or, you know, your eyes off the road or fall asleep at the wheel.
I think it's the next quarter's earnings. It's the third quarter's earnings that are going to be the interesting ones, not the second quarter's, because once the world has so-called opened up, has it been an opening that has boosted profits by or got business back to 40%, 60%, 80% of what it was? And the reason I say that is because when I was getting on that train that I spoke about earlier on from Rotterdam to Brussels, the next platform to me was the train that goes from Rotterdam to Schiphol Airport and then on to Amsterdam Central. Normally, at 9:30 on a Saturday morning in the middle of summer, the platform would have been packed with people all jostling to try and get a seat. There wasn't one person on the platform, David, not one traveling to Schiphol Airport, Amsterdam, one of the busiest airports in Europe, to go somewhere. And although there are flights, and those flights, they say, well, we're really busy, but there's because there's only one flight instead of 10 flights. So I don't know. I don't know if we are opening up. I think it's going to be very difficult.
You've brought up another very important issue, because the longer this goes on, the more vulnerable those industries will be, the airline industry, the hospitality industry. And also, the longer we don't get back to full to full activity, the more worried those people who haven't got jobs will be, you know, those who are hoping that they're going to be reemployed again. So that's where, you know, those are the risk factors, you know, and that's why I'm saying we watch all the time for signs that sustainability will continue, that it will all, you know, that this is not going to slow down. Listen, it's I say it all the time. You know, I'm thrilled at where we are. I just, you know, it's I'm always bullish, but this has gone beyond where I thought it would be. You know, in my very humble way of looking at markets and saying, okay, you know, I'll be happy if we just keep edging up.
You must be doing well for your clients, David, with your exposure. You must be doing really well.
We are, but that always leaves that always say, okay, you know, do I buy more now? Or do I take profits or ease back? At the moment, we continue because we've got some kind of base and I've got some kind of margin there. You know, it's always difficult. It's easy for older clients or clients who have been in the market for some time. I mean, but for the new clients, you've always worried, am I being stupid by buying at these levels? You know, that's always the question.
Okay, let's talk about football now, just to end things, if we can. I noticed Liverpool drew over the weekend. Norwich have been relegated, thank goodness. Liverpool drew 1-1. Jurgen Klopp just got a little bit too cocky against Burnley. He dropped a few players and he brought in a 19-year-old his debut for Liverpool, and they got a bit complacent, so they might not beat Manchester City's points record. I don't know, but again, I think the clubs are adjusting to no crowds. That's what they're doing. They haven't got the home advantage anymore.
No. And also, he went up to the ref. He was going at the ref as well about a penalty that should have been given. Where funny enough, and all the pundits believed that as well, but I didn't, because he tackled, the ball had been kicked away cleanly from, I can't remember who the Liverpool player was, and then there was a tumbling of legs, but the ball had already left the scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Klopp was very angry, and he went, and I said, hold on a sec. You know, just sometimes you're such a gentleman. I like you so much. The ref didn't deserve that. You know, you lost the decision, move on. Anyway, but Arsenal lost. You know, they well known. I think of all the matches that they have lost, it's always been done, or even the draws where they've been ahead, it's always been in the 81st minute or the 83rd minute or the 85th minute. You know, And really, they've got a lot of work to done. Both teams, in fact, I think both Spurs and Arsenal have got a lot of work to be done in the limited time that they have for the new season. Because I can't see anything emerging there that's going to carry them to where a club of their size should be.
I wonder if there's going to be enough money because of the lack of gate receipts for them to, and the lack of shirt sales and that sort of thing. Because, you know, you go to a match with your nephew or your son or your grandson or something, you buy them a shirt, that sort of thing. There's none of that going on. Will they have the money to buy players and to also maintain these absurd wages that these kids get? I'm not sure. No. Maybe this is changing football for the better.
It could be. You know what? That could be. It could allow some youngsters to come in. You know, so not such big names and that, and maybe make a name for themselves, but not for the benefit of football. You know, it's not going to benefit us, but it might be. I think they must be running very hard. I mean, if you look at the size of the stadium and you think of the hospitality around it and the, you know, the people that work in the clubs and that, it's a worry. So it's got to change soon. That comes back to the point we were saying on the markets, you know, that I'm very concerned that if this continues for any length, you know, for any time, it's going to do lasting damage. You know, that this is an industry, Broadway, you know, the theatre, all of these things.
Any TV show that they're rerunning Downton Abbey on BBC at the moment because there's no new series coming in. There's no new films coming out. It's going to be films that were in the pipeline before, and there's going to be reruns, and they'll have Star Wars week or something at the Odeon Leicester Square instead of a new film. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not making films.
No. I'm already out of it.
Okay. Anyway. Sound like a couple of old so-and-sos. But anyway, David, thank you very much for your time. That's David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.